What would you do if you realized the tools you created were being used to manipulate millions? Christopher Wiley never imagined his work would end up undermining democracy itself. A pink-haired, gay, liberal Canadian who grew up wheelchair-bound on Vancouver Island, he found refuge in computer labs where physical limitations disappeared. By 13, he was coding websites, discovering a power that transcended his body. At 15, attending an international college transformed his worldview. His roommate had survived the Rwandan genocide, and he witnessed Israeli and Palestinian classmates debate their conflict. These experiences awakened something profound. As a gay teenager in a wheelchair, his very existence was political. Society wasn't built for people like him, and his challenges weren't just personal, they were systemic. This understanding drove him toward political engagement, eventually landing him a job in Canada's Parliament at 18. Before heading to Ottawa, he spent a formative summer in Montreal's hackerspaces, where French-Canadian techno-anarchists taught him a philosophy that would prove fateful. No system is absolute, nothing is impenetrable, and barriers are merely dares. At 18, Wiley watched Barack Obama's 2008 campaign, teaching himself data analysis and discovering how algorithms could transform politics. Voter information could predict behavior based on demographics and consumer habits. He celebrated at Obama's inauguration, convinced data-driven politics would create positive change. But innovative voter outreach quickly evolved into something darker. The micro-targeting techniques pioneered in 2008 privatized American public discourse, allowing campaigns to deliver completely different messages to different voters without public scrutiny. Silicon Valley perfected a new business model, offering free services while extracting valuable data, designing addictive features mimicking casino techniques. A new vocabulary emerged that masked surveillance as community and addiction as engagement. While industrial capitalism exploited natural resources, surveillance capitalism exploits us, extracting, processing, and selling our behaviors, thoughts, and relationships. In 2013, Wiley visited SCL Group's ornate Mayfair headquarters, meeting Alexander Nix, a polished aristocrat specializing in psychological warfare. Despite Wiley's harsh critique, Nix offered him complete operational freedom. Then came Steve from America. After an hour's wait, Wiley met a disheveled man in two collared shirts, part used car salesman, part madman. Steve Bannon talked for 4 hours about politics, fashion, and feminism. When Bannon asked if similar data work could happen in America, Wiley replied, "I don't see why not." Bannon had watched Gamergate reveal how angry, isolated white men could be mobilized when threatened. He saw potential in weaponizing nihilistic rage, but needed sophistication. Through connections, he'd found SCL's information warfare capabilities. Behind him stood Robert Mercer, an introverted billionaire who'd built his fortune on algorithms at Renaissance Technologies. Mercer's ambition, profiling every citizen and placing them in computer simulations to predict different futures. Dr. Alexander Kogan, a Cambridge professor born in Soviet-era Moldova, connected them with researchers who'd harvested massive Facebook datasets. Facebook's lax permissions meant one app user yielded access to all their friends' data. 1,000 users could generate 150,000 profiles. Launching in June 2014 with $100,000, Kogan's Facebook app collected survey responses and user data through Amazon MTurk, paying pennies for personality tests. Each respondent generated records for approximately 300 friends. By August 2014, Cambridge Analytica had harvested complete Facebook accounts of over 87 million users, mostly Americans. With sufficient data, they could predict someone better than coworkers, 10 likes, family, 150 likes, or spouses, 300 likes. Under Bannon's control, research revealed how many straight white men felt closeted, resenting evolving social norms. Wiley showed Bannon that Tea Party rallies echoed gay pride messaging, "Don't tread on me." A vocabulary emerged for these alienated men, betas, alphas, incels. Despite their privilege, they lacked identity and self-worth. many embraced the black pill, a nihilistic worldview claiming only physical looks matter. Behind strange humor lurked rage resembling jihadist recruitment narratives. Cambridge Analytica identified people with dark triad traits, narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy, and targeted them with inflammatory content through Facebook groups and ads. They created fake pages like Smith County Patriots, applying counterinsurgency tactics used in Pakistan and Yemen to American citizens. Once groups reached critical mass, they organized physical meetups to create the impression of large crowds, fostering fellowship around anger and paranoia. This gradual process of connecting county groups into statewide movements effectively birthed the alt-right. In spring 2014, Russian oil giant Lukoil approached Cambridge Analytica with unusual interest in their U.S. data. During presentations, Nix demonstrated how SCL had manipulated Nigerian elections through disinformation. The Russians took notes casually. Wiley couldn't understand why an oil company wanted American voter data. Meanwhile, Alexander Kogan was making trips to St. Petersburg and Moscow, working on psychometric profiling funded by Russian government grants, examining connections between dark triad traits and trolling behavior using Facebook data from Russian and American users. Cambridge Analytica's conservative clients included Trump and Cruz campaigns, each paying over $5 million for services like voter disengagement targeting African Americans. When Britain's EU referendum was announced, Cambridge Analytica joined Leave.eu through Bannon's connection to Aaron Banks and Nigel Farage. Vote Leave hired AIQ, a Wiley linked firm with SCL ties. Nearing spending limits, Vote Leave illegally channeled $700,000 to AIQ through a fake campaign. Together, they deployed over 100 ads with 1,433 messages, viewed 169 million times. Leave won, with 51.89%. 2 months after Trump's inauguration, Guardian journalist Carol Cadwalader contacted Wiley. Their planned 20-minute call stretched to 4 hours, with Wiley calling Cambridge Analytica Steve Bannon's psychological mindfuck tool. Encouraged by Trudeau's team, Wiley went public. Channel 4 News caught CEO Alexander Nix offering blackmail and entrapment, sending some girls around to the candidate's house, deploying very beautiful Ukrainians, staging corruption scenarios. These are things that don't necessarily need to be true, as long as they're believed, Nix remarked. When Cambridge Analytica was exposed in March 2018, Facebook lost $80 billion overnight. The scandal revealed how our personal data had become a weapon for manipulation. We've forgotten the value of being unknown. Human growth requires private spaces for experimentation. We cannot evolve when shackled to our past selves. Privacy isn't about hiding, it's about agency and growth. Facebook's algorithms create cognitive ghettos, curating content that reinforces narrow viewpoints. In Myanmar, Facebook played what the UN called a determining role in ethnic cleansing that killed 40,000 Rohingya in 2017. Smart homes and IoT devices create motivated spaces that watch, judge, and influence us. Our legal system assumes human agency in passive environments, but we have no explicit right to agency against the environment itself. Like building codes after historic fires, we need architectural standards for the internet, privacy protections beyond meaningless consent forms, requiring choice-enhancing design and banning manipulative patterns. Your data isn't just information, it's raw material reshaping your reality.